Well, it is a pleasure to be here today, and it has been a long road, partly because, as Larry mentioned, I was part of the preceding Committee on Accelerating Progress and then went right into this monumental activity. So it's been a long couple of years for me, but it's actually been very rewarding, and hopefully the two reports will provide useful inputs for the field. As Steve so nicely set up, today I have no financial relationships to disclose here. I'm going to focus specifically on the indicator activity and drawing on the framework that Steve illustrated earlier. I'm really going to focus on two specific components, the activities component and the outputs component. And in terms of outcomes, I'll talk a little bit about outcomes and intended impacts. I'll talk a little bit about kind of what we found with the indicators and kind of where opportunities exist. We had a number of criteria. We spent a lot of time, given that one of our tasks was to identify a set of indicators that could be used by the field, we spent a fair amount of time identifying criteria by which we would identify potential indicators and data sources to go along with them, because we didn't want to develop a plan or a package of plans that were just void of data availability. So the committee put a lot of effort into it. We had how big was our committee, Larry? Like 15 or 20 people. And I would say at least half of them were involved in this indicator activity. It was very much an in-depth effort on the part of this group. So we had a number of criteria that we used. The first one was they had to relate to our intended impacts or improvements in obesity prevention efforts that were identified in the framework that Steve presented. They had to relate to the overarching goals of preventing overweight and obesity, and or one of the Accelerating Progress in Obesity Prevention recommendations and related strategies. And for those of you who have not seen that report, we, in APOP, we identified five key environments for which obesity prevention efforts should focus. They were on the food environment, the physical activity environment, the messaging and marketing environment, worksite and healthcare environments, and the school environment. And within each of those five environments, we identified a number of recommended strategies for accelerating progress in obesity prevention. And it was not one individual environment alone that was going to make a difference in accelerating progress in obesity prevention. We very much recommended a systems approach where all actors in society, ranging from governments, industry, individual community leaders, parents, home, work sites, employers, you name it, everybody has a role to play in this effort. So in the APOP, we identified a number of strategies that could be taken and specific action steps that could be taken to accelerate progress in obesity prevention. And I'll go back to those in a minute because they completely overlay the indicators we actually ended up developing. We felt that we needed to draw from existing indicators and data sources. A lot more will follow on that in a moment. We drew heavily from what was available in national surveillance systems and recognition of existing data gaps. So here are some of the sources we relied on. And the first one, was sort of our parent. We relied on Healthy People 2020 indicators more than anything else because they had been through a very substantive vetting process over the years based on available data that the federal government compiles from their various national data systems. And we felt the science was behind them and they had a systematic process in place for vetting what the recommendations and the goal areas and the indicators were in Healthy People 2020. So that was our starting point for everything. We started with Healthy People 2020 and built off of it. The second place, as I mentioned, that we focused was on the specific goal areas and strategies that were recommended in the Accelerating Progress Report. In that report, we also touched on the indicator issues. We didn't have the opportunity in that committee, although we had eight meetings, not four meetings, like we had in APOP, Larry. But we didn't have the opportunity in APOP to go in detail in recommending indicators in the level of detail we do in EPOP. So in APOP, you'll see some possible indicators to go along with each of the goal areas and strategies, but it's nothing on the magnitude of what we came up with for EPOP. The next place we looked were existing nationally recognized or state-based data systems. So NHANES, the SLATE system, which has the National Survey on Children's Health, and a number of other existing national data sets that would provide data at least one jurisdictional level of interest. By jurisdiction, I'm talking about governmental jurisdictions, so national, state level, so estimates at these levels, national level estimates, state level estimates, county and or municipal level estimates, and or school district estimates. Okay, we weren't just talking about kind of regional things. We weren't talking about market areas. If you do market area research, we were looking at places where you could actually get estimates at a specific geographic level. Third, we looked at strategies that were recommended by national advisory groups like the Community Guide or the Task Force on Community Preventive Services. Many of us in the room are aware that in the physical activity area in particular, they've come out with some specific recommended strategies for physical activity, and they had data points associated with them. And then we also spent a fair amount of time identifying needs that existed that were not covered by these other sources. And the main area that really wasn't covered by any of these other sources that we have a huge gap in relates to the policy systems and environmental indicators. There's really very few data sources out there at any level, national, state, county, or municipal, or school district levels that provide estimates on policy activities, systems activities, and environmental data. Another key area that we've identified that Larry alluded to is this area focusing on indicators that relate to specific groups or populations or subpopulations. A lot of the data sources that exist that you'll see in a moment focus either at these high levels, national estimates, state estimates, county, municipal, or school district estimates, but very few of them provide data on specific subpopulation estimates at those different levels. So we have some real opportunities or gaps that exist, and Deanna and Jim will talk about some of these as well. So our criteria for the indicators themselves, they had to follow a certain set of properties. They had to be relevant and closely linked to the APOP goals and strategies. Everything in this report was really tied inherently to the APOP report. So for each of the goal areas and each of the strategies, we went through and tried to identify existing data sources that could map on to those APOP goal areas and strategies and try and come up with the universe of potential indicators that could be used to track progress in those individual strategies. They had to be readily available at least one jurisdiction of interest, as I've already mentioned. This was a hard one. They had to be measured on a regular basis over time. We set this kind of artificial timeline of ideally at least every 3 years. With national data sets, we know that's sometimes very hard to do. National Survey on Children's Health, I think at the time we were doing this, was about every 6 years. The School Health Policy and Practices Survey is every 6 years. So it's hard to do the every 3 year thing, but that was our goal. In some cases, we had to go a little bit longer just because of the available data. We wanted to identify data sources that already existed and where data could easily and readily be compiled from available data. It wasn't going to require a lot of data manipulation on the part of biostatisticians and things like that. We wanted to identify data that were understandable for decision makers and focus on things that would galvanize action within a community. I've already mentioned a number of the indicator sources. Besides Healthy People and APOP, we referred to a number of other repositories and things like that, including Community Commons GIS, the Childhood Obesity GIS System, the USDA's Food Atlas, National Survey of Children's Health, other federal agency and state-based systems, biostatistics registries, private sector and commercial sources, such as many of you in the room may have used the AC Nielsen home scan data and other commercial data sources, EBRI benefits data. And then we also refer to the NCORE, the National Collaborative on Childhood Obesity Research's catalog of surveillance systems, to make sure we didn't miss any existing data systems out there. So we started out with a universe of about 322 potential indicators that related to the APOP strategies. After we removed duplicates, it ended up being about 206. We categorized the indicators into two groups. They had to be overarching related to prevention of obesity and overweight, or they had to relate to the specific APOP goal areas and strategies. In the end, we ended up with 83 indicators, 13 overarching, and 70 specific goal area ones. So on the IOM website, and I'm going to try to connect to it right now to demonstrate this for you, and if not, I have backup slides. But on the IOM website is this interactive website that will enable you to identify all of the indicators by each of the categories that we focused on. Okay, all right, so we're not going to do that. That's okay. There we go. So here's the URL, and these slides are available on the APHA meeting thing. And you also have in the back of the room, you have some handouts, and I think I brought up the indicators one. There's also actually a handout specifically that has all of the indicators in it and that has the URL on it, and I'm going to walk you through that handout. So the first category of indicators, and you probably can't see all this, I just want to illustrate for you what's there so you'll know where to go and what to find. The first category were the 13 overarching goal area indicators. And so for each one, and the pointer I don't think is working. That's okay. You know, I'm a policy person. We do everything on the fly, so it is what it is. We're used to this. Thanks, Steve. So we had 13 overarching indicators related to obesity and overweight. And so for each one, is it working? There it is. Thank you. And so for each one, we actually identify what the indicator is. And then there are links to actual data sources that can be used to compile that data. So this first one here in blue is actually the NHANES, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. It actually takes you right to that page, and you can actually locate that data. The second one here in green is for the CDC's Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, and it's selected metropolitan, micropolitan statistical area data, and it takes you right to BRFIS, and it takes you right to the information you need. So for each of these 13, you'll see the exact same thing. The next one is for Goal Area 1, which is the physical activity environment. Again, these goal areas are from APOP. The actual strategies themselves are from APOP. And so within each of these goal areas and strategies, we identified specific indicators that did or did not exist relative to each of those areas. And so I could go on. This one is actually from Strategy 1.1 to enhance the physical and built environment. Item 17 under there was joint and shared use of community facilities. And so what we found here was the School Health Policies and Practices Study from CDC has some data available at the national level, national estimates on it, and they have selected large school district data available as well related to joint use policies and agreements. So on your handout that you have and on the website as well, you'll see that anything that has this blue capital circle on it means that there's national level estimates or data available, and anything with a little red circle means there's something below the national level. It's usually going to be the community, county, municipal, or school district level. If it has a little diamond next to the red circle, and a number of them do, the little open diamond next to the red circle means that it's only available for selected jurisdictions, like in this case for large school districts. And so the rest of them go on and on. This is for improving the food and beverage environment, and this is Strategy 30, which relates to reducing overconsumption of sugar-sweetened beverages and sugar-sweetened beverage policies in schools. And here we identified a number of different sources. Bridging the Gap is some data that I compile across the country at the national level on school district wellness policy. So we have national level estimates. NCI has the classification of laws associated with school students. That is national level data. They actually have state level data there as well on state laws governing school-based policies. And then SHIPS has national estimates and local school district estimates. And the final one is from CINDA, from USDA, the School Nutrition Dietary Assessment. So I won't go through all the rest of these, but you get the gist of what's there. I encourage you to go to the IOM website and pull this down. Copies of this handout are in the back, and if we've run out, you can certainly go to the website to pull these down.